Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much, Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Perfect at your service. That's the story I'm sticking to anyway. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We always have a great time here. We try to have fun. I always say, if you can't have fun, let's just forget about it. And somebody who agrees with me, because I can always count on him to contribute to the fun, but also to our education and our information for how to be better at running our small businesses, our good friend Tim Berry, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software, the author of Plan As You Go, Business Plan. That's an outstanding 21st century book on business planning. He's our good friend Tim Berry. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. Tim, one of the things that you do quite a bit, and to your credit, you do a lot of work with entrepreneurs on entrepreneurial education, startups, capital acquisition projects. You do a lot of business planning, judging all across the country. You're in high demand to help universities and other organizations. You teach entrepreneurship at the university there in your area, and so you've come up with a list of things that I'm gonna let you tell the audience what the list is about. But it's about startups, right?
Well, with a tip of the hat to the Letterman idea, I have a list of top 10 startup mistakes that I've seen.
Only 10? just the top 10, right?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, we could produce an encyclopedia, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, yes, you could.
All right. So are we going to go from 10 down, or one?
We're going to go to the least important up to the most important.
So that's number 10, right?
So, yes. You ready for that?
Yeah, number 10.
Number 10, unrealistic forecasts. The hockey stick.
Right.
You know what the hockey stick forecast means?
What?
The hockey stick means the business has been going along flat, uninteresting, boring, sales just generally steady, and they're going to turn up and be wonderful as soon as you get somebody else's money.
Ah. Meaning an investor's money.
Yes.
Yeah.
As soon as I get your money, mm-hmm. my sales are going to be great.
Yep. I've seen that.
When the hockey stick works, it's great. But the trouble is, most of the hockey sticks just stay level forever.
Right.
And meanwhile, you're not realistic about your business, and the expenses that tag along with sales aren't realistic. And it's a big mistake.
Well, and I've seen this myself, what you just said. I mean, people don't understand that investment doesn't put sales on the top line in most cases. Now, there are ways when investment gives you resources that allow you to leverage, you know, your approach to customers or whatever, and you can drive sales that way. But the thing about it is there's no substitute for customer sales, is there?
No. No, the only thing harder than forecasting is trying to run a business without it. So number 10 is unrealistic forecasting.
Let me say one other thing on the forecasting or projections. I always use that term myself, but as you and I know, Tim, all forecasts, all projections are wrong. So you've got that. It's kind of a paradox. All projections are wrong, and so you have to realize that you know you're not going to get them right. But at the same time, the paradox is you still have to do them.
Oh, yeah, because there are degrees of wrong, and there's follow-up, and then
right.
there's the classic, well, it's a $10 billion market, and if we just get 0.5% of that, that's $500 million, you know, and
yeah.
things like that.
Those are fun numbers to play with, aren't they? All right, number 9.
Number 9, incomplete teams. Happens a lot, as in...
Incomplete teams?
Yes, people don't realize that a lot of building a business is about building a team, and you need the different people, the person who can sell, the person who can count and be the administrator, the person who can build the product, the person who can program. Different types come together, and you need the professionals, the attorney usually, and the CPA when it's time for taxes. And yet we, and boy, I've committed this mistake.
So all the team, all the team members are not necessarily on payroll.
No, not necessarily. Your professionals are often part of the team, and the incomplete team is the, oh, I'm going to start a business so I can do it all by myself.
Right.
I have to do it. A lot of people don't like it and makes their life much harder that they don't realize that, no, you don't have to do everything yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the golden-tongued salesperson, you don't also have to be the bean counter.
The technician. And in some scenarios, when you're looking for investors, you want the investor to become part of the team, right?
Yes, definitely.
They can bring certain capabilities, connections, whatever it might be, to the table. We're gonna finish, do a little bit more on number 9 and move on to number 8 right after these messages. Gonna take a quick break. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Tim Berry is our guest. Got a special announcement when we come back. Stay tuned for that. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're having a great visit with Tim Berry. It's his 12th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust, an original member of our Brain Trust. Tim Berry, happy anniversary, baby.
Well, and to you, wow. Scary, though, isn't it?
I know. Well, but it's been fun, though. I mean, I've really enjoyed our relationship, our friendship, the work you've done. I mean, you've been steadfast. I was telling the audience earlier in the hour, you know, you've probably done an average of 10 interviews a year with me, and maybe more. I know some years
something like that, yeah.
I'm going to assume we missed one or two during the year, but usually just about every month you've been with us to talk about business planning, but also running businesses, getting capitalized, and cash flow. We did a lot of work on cash flow. Really good stuff, and I just want you to know that that we really value the contribution that you make to the marketplace, but also to us.
Oh, and you know, you mentioned fun, too. It's been fun, and I value the opportunity.
Thank you, Tim, for that. And folks, so, you know, it's and we got a lot of folks. Tim's one of several who are part of our original members of the Brain Trust, but he's a very, very valuable one, very special one. Folks, Tim and I are talking about his top 10 list of mistakes that startups make. And we were wrapping up number 9, I think, Tim, when you
well,
when we
should
to the
move
break.
On. We've considered 9
right.
wrapped up.
Right.
Don't
number
go
8.
It alone unless you – there are exceptions. Sometimes alone is the way to do it, but don't assume that entrepreneurship means alone. It means teams. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And one quick thing on that, Tim. Isn't it true that investor groups, if you are actually going after some, you know, serious professional money, that investor groups are going to pay as much or more attention to your team than they will on what you're selling?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last thought on that one. Go to number 8.
8, misunderstanding equity, misunderstanding ownership. People don't realize ownership is part of building the company. You don't give 10 and 15% to your brother-in-law or your favorite cousin or
mm-hmm.
your Aunt Minnie. If you have to give something to a vendor, professional, somebody like that, it's never more than 1%, and it's only for somebody who's going to be with the company
right.
on the long term.
Right.
Ownership is for serious investment or people who are going to be committed to being part of that company
mm-hmm.
all the way. And that causes a lot of problems later on.
Do you think it happens mostly the mistake that they make on this, it happens mostly when the first money comes in?
I think it happens before the first money. I think there's a lot of mistakes about ownership with companies that aren't getting outside money. But just suddenly you turn around, you've been in business for 2 or 3 years, and 30-40% of your company is off on these obscure deals that
right.
it was fun at the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You got to take
the
this
ones that get professional equity. If they've done that, they'll never get the professional
right.
investment. And if they do get the professional investment, then they get diluted and it becomes more professional throughout.
Right. Yeah. It makes you look unprofessional. Makes you look sophomoric if they see a bunch of ash and trash on your balance sheet.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
right,
number seven.
Number seven.
Investment or bust. Great big mistake. And we teach that in business schools, and we write about it in blogs. The idea that somehow starting a business necessarily requires getting the investment, getting financing. Do I need venture capital, angel investment, or an SBA loan? And in truth, I've seen a study from Wells Fargo. The average startup cost in the United States is $10,000. And people do that with their credit cards. Mm-hmm. I mean, God help us all. I did too. But there's a lot of reasons not to. But people do it with credit cards and home mortgage and just working hard. You remember, this isn't part of the number seven, investment or bust. But the best financing is the first sale.
Well, that's exactly right. What I tell people, and it really troubles me, Tim, when I see people who want to start a business and they languish over their idea, and they don't, instead of trying to instead of, you know, hitting the marketplace with their product and trying to find customers, they spend more time trying to find investors. And I tell them, hey, folks, the best capital is from your customer.
Absolutely.
There is no better, there is no more beautiful, pure, high-quality capital. It is the gold standard of capital, more than anything else.
And exactly, the languishing, trying to find investment happens way too much.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Get on with it.
All right, number six.
Ideas are not equal to opportunities. Number six.
People say that again.
Ideas are not equal to opportunities. People overvalue the idea and misunderstand that a business opportunity is rarely based on a new unique idea. Most of the time, it's giving value and hard work. And what you need to do is differentiate. What makes an idea an opportunity is actually realistic that you can make money and build a business.
So you're saying there might actually be more opportunity in doing something somebody else has already done, but doing it better than there would be for you to try to come up with something nobody's ever done.
Exactly. People that you sit around thinking, oh, if only I had an idea for a business.
Yeah.
And you live with a million of them every day. There are things that you want to do that you can do well
right.
that people will pay money for.
Right.
Those are opportunities.
Number five.
Trying to do everything. Classic. I don't know the secret to success. This is a quote.
This is classic small business, right?
Trying to do everything, we all do, but
yeah.
it kills us. I don't know the secret to success. But I do know that the secret to failure is trying to do everything.
Yeah.
That's a quote from Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Say that again.
I don't know the secret to success, but I do know that the secret to failure is trying to do everything.
And folks, we're going to cut you some slack. It just happens.
We all want to.
It just happens. Well, even if we don't want to, it just happens to us. But folks, you got to try to get out of that trap, because it is a trap and it will take you down. Tim Till, right back with the other four after these messages with Tim Berry. Stay with us.
Love never seems to last you. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
All the things that Tim has deposited with us over the years at my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check that out when you get a chance. And Tim, the website you've told us about all these years to help people get better at business planning is bplans.com, right?
My blog now is on timberry.bplans.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
I moved it over there.
Good for you. Well, that's an outstanding blog, folks. And Tim is so prolific these days, especially writing about entrepreneurship and all the things that will help you. If you want to follow anybody, folks, and if you want to get better at your small business, you want to follow anybody, follow Tim Berry. So find out what he's doing and hook up with him. Tim, we're talking about the top 10 mistakes that startups make, and we're on number four.
Oh, and we're in trouble because we just have a very short time for
yep.
the most important four. Number four, pricing too low happens all the time. People think low price means high volume. It doesn't unless you're Walmart, you know. So
I've seen this happen where somebody worked for a company that wanted to start their own business, and they said, you know, I think my boss charges too much. I'm going to go steal his business, start my own business, and steal his customers because I'll be lower. And what they didn't realize was their boss knew what it took, what they had to charge customers in order to stay in business.
Well, not to mention that it's the message you're sending to potential customers. You're telling them, here's what I'm worth.
Right.
Here's what my stuff is worth.
Well, and
pricing too low happens way too much.
And then you're getting into a price war, and the price war's over, and we lost. Walmart won.
Yeah.
All right, number three.
Number three, failing to plan. I guess we've talked about that a lot through the years.
A few times.
Your plans may be wrong, but they're vital. You need to plan to steer your company.
Yep.
Number two.
And wait, Tim, nope. on the planning thing. That's where I think, folks, Tim's new book, A Plan As You Go Business Plan. That's, and your software, too. But, I mean, this book is really, I call it a 21st century book, Tim, and I think it is.
I heard that. I thank you for that, because I'm trying to focus on planning to steer your company and not just a business plan for showing to others, but run your company better.
Right, absolutely. And it's real world, rubber meets the road. You know, I see that. I can do this. That's what you're going to get there. Okay, go ahead. Number two.
Not enough cash. You know, sweet spot, you sometimes need to do the job right or not at all. Not enough cash to do what you wanted. If you can't generate enough cash, then refocus, do less, do it better. But number two is not enough cash.
That is the really, really sad thing when you see a company that may not be unsuccessful from their products, their services, their customers. It could just be that their credit policies aren't effective or whatever. But they you know, you say, how did you, you know, what happened to you? How did you lose your business? And the person says, I don't know. And what they didn't know was that they ran out of cash.
Yeah. Some of them are profitable.
It's really sad. Yeah, you can survive for years without profit, but you can't survive more than a week or so without cash.
Yeah.
So that's a big one right there, folks. And Tim, that's where you've got to be able to forecast cash.
Yes.
And you know, I've talked about that many times before, folks. If I had to give one person a skill, I would show them how to forecast cash.
Yeah, it's the lifeblood. You need it to run your business.
No question. All right, number one. I'm going to give you a drum roll here, Tim. Go ahead.
Okay, number one, no real need. And I'm convinced of it. I've seen it over and
Say
over
again.
Say it again. No real need.
No
what,
real
what
need.
What kills businesses, startups, these are startup mistakes, is much as you fall in love with your idea, it wasn't an opportunity. People aren't willing to spend money for it. You're dying to do the greeting cards that you've always wanted to, or you're going to do this, that, or the next thing. Businesses thrive on giving value to other people to spend their money on it, and the most important mistake in startups is there's no, and of course, need means want, too, because sometimes people want it,
right.
But people will spend their money on it, and you just see these.
How many times have you told startups, go see if you can sell this before you go ask people for money?
There isn't a need for the next Twitter or the next Facebook, or there isn't a need for another copycat restaurant that, you know, and so they're doomed to failure because they're not giving people what people want or need.
Mm-hmm. And they try to start the business without determining where they fit in that whole continuum. Tim, thanks for being here. Thanks for 12 great years.
Oh, boy. Thank you, too.
And thanks for all you do for small business. Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, a great American and one of our dear friends and president and founder of Palo Alto Software. That's bplans.com. Find his blog there. You do not want to do without that, I promise you. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you, today, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.